One sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes.
From Corpus Christi, Texas, it's time for the Family Altar Program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away. For he takes the glove.
And now for a continuation of yesterday's message, here is Brother Roloff.
For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. I remember the story of the lumberjack. Way up north, there they were in zero weather. They were hauling lumber and cutting lumber and loading logs, and the fellows began to kid this big old strong lumberjack and said, "You just don't want to drink." He said, "No, sir." He said, "You realize that this liquor keeps you warm in the cold?" He said, "I stay warm working." They, day after day, they plagued him. They pulled at him. They nagged him. And finally he said, "I'll tell you what, fellas, I'll have to concede that you're right, and I suppose I'll drink with you if you see my big dog here that goes with me everywhere I go. If you pour him out a saucer of liquor, and if he takes one drop of it, I'll drink with my dog." They poured it out, the dog hardly smelled it and walked away. You know, even a dog wouldn't touch it. He said, "Gentlemen, I feel like I ought to have as much sense as my dog." America is a liquor-soaked, sodden, sinful, satanic, sedated nation tonight. All the way from Washington, D.C., down to the lowest level of the shack by the railroad track, liquor has done its work. Robbed and stolen and broken up homes and hopes and shattered lives. And I read three letters on the way to my destination today in the plane. One of them said, "My mother, an alcoholic. But I'm thankful my daddy doesn't drink but once a year. Just once. But my mother's gone, and she's an alcoholic." Listen. I tell you what liquor's done. There was a time when the old saloon was wide open. But I tell you one thing. A woman never walked in a saloon. Never. You'd never find a woman unless she's going after a drunk husband. She'd never walk in a saloon. Of course, Carrie Nation walked in a few of them, tore them down. But there was and now then, the women are running. They're the cashiers. They're the ones that are paid to sit at the tables to drink with the men. Women, the saloon is a woman's institution today. No wonder you see all these young heads and faces and these boys over here. They didn't accidentally get that way. Liquor has done its work. Weaned away from the things of the world. Number four, and I'll just take one verse. A soldier needs to get acquainted with his weapon. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. Do you ever hear guns going off around here? That's what it is. That's real gun shooting. Down here at the rifle range, the pistol range. You know what it is? You know who it is down there? That's policemen taking a pistol. And they're shooting. They're shooting. I mean round after round. They're learning how to shoot people. They're learning how to use a weapon.
Of course, they hardly...
It's dangerous to use it.
Because they'll throw them in jail or give them a penitentiary sentence for using what they hang on their hip. I believe in the protection of our officers. And I'll say this, and I believe this is right. I believe this is scripture. If an officer in the line of duty runs up on a crazy drunk man or dope head, and the man is waving a pistol and maybe pulling the trigger, I believe that the policeman has every right to shoot him first. Now you'd say, Brother Olaf,
don't you think you're approaching brutality?
No. Here's the thing.
A lawman, an officer, a sheriff, or the chief of police, they are lawfully carrying a pistol.
I'm not supposed to carry a pistol. I mean, you don't see me walking down the street
with a pistol.
I mean, I'm not authorized to do it.
Now, why authorize a policeman to carry a pistol, and when an unlawful man pulls a pistol and starts waving it,
I don't understand why he's got to shoot at the policeman at least once, or maybe shoot him once, and then if he's got anything left in him, start shooting at him. That's not the way it used to be.
People have taken the law in their own hands, and nobody runs the risk of being killed more often than a policeman.
Now then, look at this verse.
Chapter 10, verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Brother, that's the greatest captivity that's ever been known.
When you get to the place where your thoughts are captured.
Now I want to give you something that's precious.
Turn to Exodus chapter 18, verse 18. That's easy to remember. Genesis,
Exodus 18, and it'll be verse 18.
We got a great general. And I want to pause here long enough to help you and encourage you. And you encourage me a little bit. And you do. But I think this is very vital, especially facing what I think we're facing now. Moses had a father-in-law, and it seemed that he got along real good. But one day, Jethro, the father-in-law of Moses, came and said, Moses, the thing that thou doest is not good. And Moses said, what are you driving at? I mean, I'm listening to you. He didn't get mad. Moses could get mad, all right. And anybody's got anything worthwhile, he can get mad. The prophets and the preachers that have changed the course of civilizations have been mad prophets. And so, he said, the thing you're doing, it's not well, it's not good. Well, he said, what would you suggest? He said, you got too many cases coming before you. I mean, the little and the big. Now, what you need to do, you need to get some help. Because, now, verse 18, thou wilt surely wear away, both thou and this people that's with thee, for this thing's too heavy for thee, that thou not able to perform it thyself alone. That's it. You can't do it by yourself. You can't do it alone. Hearken now unto my voice. I'll give thee counsel, and God shall be with thee. Be thou for the people to Godward, be a sign pointing toward God, that thou mayest bring the causes unto God. And thou shalt teach them ordinances, there it is, and laws, and shalt show them the way wherein they must walk, and the work that they must do. Now that's fundamental. That's prime. That's my job. That's his job. Moreover, thou shalt provide out of all the people able men, such as fear God, men of truth, get it, fear God, men of truth, hating covetousness, that means not selfish, and place such over them to be rulers of thousands, and rulers of hundreds, rulers of fifties, and rulers of tens.
And let them judge the people at all seasons.
And it should be that every great matter they shall bring unto thee, but every small matter they shall judge. So shall it be easier for thyself, and they shall bear the burden with thee. If thou shalt do this thing, and God command thee so. Now, no, isn't that good? If you do this now, and God will approve what I'm saying, and God commands you, and all this people shall also go to their place in peace. So Moses hearkened to the voice of his father-in-law and did all that he had said. And Moses chose able men out of Israel and made them heads over the people. Rulers, fifties, tens, and so forth. And God gave them victory. Now, folk, with what I see before, there never has been a time when we needed some chiefs as well as just plain Indians. We've got to have men that's going to really bear the responsibility and do it right. We cannot have fussy, critical, sour leaders. We cannot do it. We must have key men. We've got to have top-flight men at the head of every department. We've got to have them. We've got to have people that'll be steady, solid, wise, patient, and we've got to train this bunch of young bucks over here. They haven't been trained. They need to be trained. We've got to start all sorts of trade schools. We can't turn these boys out of here knowing as little as they did when they came. It's not enough just to point them to Jesus, get them saved. We need to fix them where they can make a living without stealing. We need to give them a work they can do and train them, and they'll enjoy working for their own living, buying their own car, meeting their own payments, and living upstanding lives. Now, I want you to look at, we're talking about wearing. We need to bring this up every once in a while. Deuteronomy 22. Chapter 22, and we'll read verse 5 and 11. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment. Now, when I started preaching, that last part of that wasn't necessary. There just wasn't any man that would have been caught with any garment that a woman ever thought about wearing. But now look at it. But look at the way the women dress today. You can go in some stores and there's not a dress to be found. You couldn't find it. Of course, that ought to drive the women back to sowing anyhow. Fact is, I think we're reaping now because we didn't sow. Oh, how can women get so involved? And you know, the big denominations, almost every one of them, endorse men's clothes. Of course, I know, and the big argument is this. Brother Olaf, what about the pants suits? Well, when you say pants, say you did it. Men wear pants, and the thing is, I'm getting so outnumbered until we're the oddest people in the world. And yet, when I started preaching, you didn't have this to face. You walk in a big women's shop and you found nothing but beautiful dresses. Every kind of a dress. I still believe that's the modest way for women to dress. And I want to tell you, dear sisters, something. If you want the blessings of God on your life, then you dress like God tells a woman to dress. You'd say, well, Brother Olaf, I'm not afraid of your little anathemas, and you can put your little curse on. Honey, child, it's not Brother Olaf's little curse. It's God's big curse that falls. That'll get you, sure enough. But I've got every right to warn you. I know some of you, you're just so homesick for that bunch of old jeans you got. You know. Oh, how. And you cut them off, and it's the filthiest, dirtiest looking, shabbiest looking. You don't even act or look like a lady when you get dressed like that. And if you want to get your conviction, don't live on mine. Get them yourself. And all you got to do is read the Bible. And that's what he said right here. Verse 5, the woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man, neither shall a man put on a woman's garment, for all that do so are abomination unto the Lord thy God. I tell you one thing, this is one more generation of abomination. Now, he just simply says, that's the way we ought to dress. Let's look at another verse before we leave that. Verse 11, thou shalt not wear a garment of divers sorts, as of woolen and linen together. God has... Now, I know what some of you are saying. Well, Brother Olaf, that business of saying that a woman not wear what pertains to a man, do you realize that's back under the law? Let me answer that for you. Are we to do worse under grace than we did under the law? I mean, are we to do worse in the light of grace than they did in the shadow of the law? No. Why, brother, women ought to be improved, man. We've got more light, more of the Word, the Holy Spirit. And after all that's said, doesn't it? Who do you dress up for? Do you dress up for the boss? Do you dress for the boss better than you dress for your husband? Do you dress up for the opposite sex? Or do you dress up for Jesus? Do you go look in the mirror and say, Lord, are you pleased with this outfit I got on? This dress that I'm wearing? Is it long enough? Does it suit you? After all, you know, we're going steady. And you're the best boyfriend I've ever had. And if we're going to get married, I want you to kind of be pleased with the way I look. Do you like all this blue stuff up here? Do you like all these heathen earrings hanging down like a cannibal? Might as well get a hook and put it in your nose. Go ahead and swell up and get mad. Why don't you give that money to God? It's not what you hang on the outside of you that makes you pretty, or what you paint on the outside of you. It's what you got down in here. Now I'm going to give an illustration. Make you feel good, boys. I'll start with y'all. Start with y'all. Y'all forget us. Did you know that the Lighthouse boys have gained the reputation of being the cleanest and the most wholesome looking boys that people ever see? They wouldn't have said that if they'd have seen you when you come in. I don't think there's a judge anywhere that's got good sense but what would appreciate a boy when he comes before him to put on the best he's got and come in and sit straight and listen. Don't slouch down like you got a back broke. I mean, sit up. Yes, sir. Your Honor, I'm at the mercy of this court. I plead guilty, but I'll never do it again. If you'll give me a chance, one more, I'll prove that I'll live like I ought to live. I wouldn't just sit there and say, well, do what you want to do. He will. Brother and girls, why do the visitors come from across the nation and say, Brother Olaf, never have we seen such beautiful faces and eyes and expressions, and the people are saying, isn't it strange that the department will throw you in jail for tapping them on the seat and leaving a red streak, and then when you get them in, they'll shoot them full of needle holes? That to me is killing them. That's child abuse. That's ruining their brain. And I'm going to make a statement. I've made it before, but I'm going to do it again. Rather than be on dope, I'm talking about acid or devil dust. I don't know why I want to call it angel dust. All that filth. Listen, I could come just as near going down to a carpenter shop and say to a fella, would you take a bracing bit and bore a hole right in here? He said, man, you're crazy. I said, no, I'm not crazy, but I'm about to go crazy because I'm thinking go get some dope. And I know what he'll do to me. And rather than do that, I want to just cut myself off. You drill a hole into my brain and then just pull out whatever brains you can find. Oh, you say that's horrible? That's exactly what y'all do when you take your dope. That's right. The little old thing, you just sit there and stare. If you knew how silly and how sorry and how incapable of handling yourself and protecting yourself, and you come to, you've got venereal disease. And you think that's funny. No, I'm glad you've gotten over that now. I'm glad you've got some sense. Most of you are walking right with me tonight because you know Jesus has a better way. Amen. Well, let's see. We have one other thing we'd like to say and close the message. Are we going to get weary? You know, let me give you Daniel. Turn to Daniel. This is one of the tricks of the devil. One of the tricks of the devil. Daniel, this is going to be in the last days. This is what I've got to face. What you've got to face. There are so many calls and demands. Which ones am I going to accept? Daniel chapter 7, verse 25. He shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints. I guess the thing that brought the message on is this. How well do you wear? Are you wearing out or are you wearing on? The right kind of wear shines you up. The wrong kind ruins you, wears you out. Now, he said, wearing out the saints. The devil has a way of trying to wear down the saints. That's been one of the temptations during these years of battle, calls, and all that. But dear friends, God will fix us where we can wear and where we'll. I close the message by asking you to go to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel. I'll show you a soldier here now. Chapter 23. 2 Samuel. Chapter 23. And verse 10. We've come to the battleground, and here's an old soldier. He arose, smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to the spoil. Notice, his hand was weary, but he held on to the sword. That's ours. That's what sustained him. You and I can become weary, but if we'll hold on to the sword, we'll get a great victory. And that's the kind of God, that God gives us, is when we hold on to the sword. And then turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. And that follows those two great verses. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And then verse 9, and let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not.
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff and the message, 7 W's. Now, if you'd like to receive that message on a CD, simply ask for RO2854. That's RO2854 and include $10. And we'd like to have today's date and the call letters to this radio station. To order by credit card, dial toll free at 1-800-772-7507. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. The July offer for the month is a music CD called A Message in Song. The uniqueness of this CD is it's all songs that were recorded at a revival Brother Roloff was holding. The Family Altar Quartet was also singing some of the songs that you hear, such as I'll Have a New Body, Let the Lower Lights Be Burning,
Oh, What a Savior, and many, many more. To receive this CD, ask for offer number 3678. And to help with postage and shipping, we ask for at least $10. Now, order by credit card, dial toll-free at 1-800-772-7507. Or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. And be sure to check the website now. That's www.roloff.org. And you'll find some interesting facts on that particular website. So now the offer today is a message and song, the offer number 3678, and include $10. We want to reach out to you to help us during the summer months as we hesitate in dropping some radio stations, but we're just about forced to do so. We need to hear from you today. Call us at 1-800-772-7507 or write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. This is Gene Price speaking for the SAP, wishing you a wonderful day. Looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by Blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of Blue Galilee. They sat at His feet, and they looked in His face, content in His presence to be, for no one before had cared for their souls like the stranger who sat by the sea.